Thanks, Matthias. Hi, everybody. Yeah, it wasn't 120, but about 110, so we go on. 218 to 3.4, that's it. You need to disinstall your 218. It's not support anymore, as Andreas said. It's really time to move on. 3.4 is great. This presentation is going to focus only on 3.4, and at the end, I have three slides that have all the features about 3.6, 3.8, and I didn't even look at 3.10. because it's just impossible. We've been producing a lot of great stuff, so let's start. First thing, user profiles. You can now define different profiles, so you can say when I'm teaching, when I'm doing analysis, there's going to be different toolbars that show on and show off, plugins, etc. Everything just will change depending on the profile that you're using. New UI teams, and sorry for speaking really quickly, but I do have 40 slides. Night mapping, so dark for people that like doing work in the evening. And blend of gray, that's only starting from 3.6. I always added a little sign when it's 3.6 only. UI improvements. We used to have opacity, transparency, and other names probably for the same thing. Now we try to get everything coherent. We now call everything opacity. And all across the board, we've been reusing the same UI hints, the same UI tools, and so that your user experience is actually much nicer and much more coherent, so that you know that when you're going to set that slider to 100%, it means the same thing, and it's not the opposite thing as it used to be. We work on maps, so we wanted to give you the possibility to have a lot of map on your screen. So now you can, with Control Tab, you can hide and show all panels. With Control Shift Tab, you can hide or show the complete GUI. So really nice when you maybe just quickly need to have a look at a bigger map, you can just turn off everything and then turn it on again and keep on working on whatever you were looking at. Multiple map views, something that has been wished for a long time, landed in 3.4 as well. So now you can have multiple maps that are completely independent from each other or that are connected to each other. So you can have the center move together, you can have the center not move together and have different views on the map. You can have a 3D view on the side and have another flat and one with orthophotos, and you can change style on each of the different maps. So you can have each canvas has its own reference system, so it's pretty powerful to look at data from different angles at the same time. Locator bar, we added the bottom left, or by control key, or control K, depending on what accent you use. It's a bar where you can type in things and it finds things in QGIS for you. It can find processing tools, it can find information in layers, it can find feature, it can find actions, it can be calculator, and it can be extended by plugins. So for example, there is a Swiss locator provider where you can type in there and it will ask the Swiss national data portal for information, and you will get the information back. It's a Python plugin, so anybody can quickly build up their own locator plugin and just distribute it and have their users install it and have very quick access to multiple locators. We added, as in the locator I mentioned, was written, we have autocomplete. Many search, or basically everywhere the search box is now autocomplete. We do have search boxes so that it makes easier to find things. Meanwhile, we have a lot of settings, a lot of information, so at times it is just much easier to just go to the properties, to the layer properties form, and just search for whatever I'm looking for, CRS or plugin manager or so on. So much quicker to get whatever we are looking for there. Data sources, we have a unified data source window where we can actually just load data, everything is in the same place when I can say load data, and I get to this window, and from here on, I can say, well, okay, what am I gonna be? What I'm gonna be loading? Is it gonna be a raster? Is it gonna be a Postgres? And from here on, I can go on and decide, browse my data, browse services, and so on. And it's all kind of together in this effort that we had in making the whole thing coherent, so you don't have 15 different dialogues that speak to you with different, like a different style, which makes the whole thing a little less professional than what QGIS actually is in the background. Something I love, because I never know if I'm using a projection that is nice for the data that I have. When you choose a projection for your data, you can click on the projection, and it will show you in a little map for what kind of area that projection is actually supposed to be used or good for. Really handy, really quick. It's just there. It doesn't disturb if you don't want to use it. But if you're unsure, then it's something really, really handy. The other favorite of mine, it's obviously that we are leading a campaign where we're not really sure if we're against or we love, but we most certainly didn't put a heart there. Shapefiles, well, let's not get in there. They have issues, and we remove them as default data type. So everything that you do now, by default, will use a geopackage, which means the geopackage has become the first class citizen in QGIS. Shapefiles, obviously, the support is still great and amazing as it was, with the limitation that shapefile has. But yeah, now the processing and everything will just generate geopackages by default. Project translations, many countries that are multilingual, many projects that need to be in multiple languages. In Switzerland, for us, it's a kind of super common thing. Basically, you can now build up a project in one language and then just have a translation file to the project so that you can do all the cartographical things in one project, and then you just go and translate, as you can see here. Just in the database, you will end up having Buckfast Bee or Carniolan Honeybee, but actually you can have a translation file where the user entering the data will see the German or the Japanese or whatever naming convention they have on their system. So the whole cartographical, the whole setup, database connection, and everything is one project, your main language, and then you can just have translation files for it, which is very, very handy if you need to work in multiple languages. Wasn't sure if to leave this in or not. JSON, you can now display JSON data in a nice key value map widget. Something super, 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 super important, processing. So processing used to be a Python plugin to QGIS. It has now been fully rewritten in C++. The API has been cleaned up a lot. And the algorithm that used to be in Python have now been rewritten as native C++ algorithms, which means they've been optimized in the process, and obviously just by the fact that they are in C++, they run faster. And the other great thing is that they do run in background now. So whenever you're running analysis in processing, it's just running. If you have a multi-core machine, well, you still have the other core, one core at least, to deal and with your project. Your user interface is not going to get locked, and you can just work much, much more smoother. It also has better documentation. During the port to C++, the occasion was used to improve the documentation. of the whole thing, so it's getting really even much nicer to work on now on the processing. Whenever you choose whatever, for example, here the clip, you get the documentation directly in the window on the site. Processing toolbox is where all the tools that are available as a processing can be found. You can see that we have some native QGIS algorithms, the one with a nice logo in front, and then we can have external ones that depend on whatever your system has installed. GDAL you always have, GRASS you most commonly have, and then Saga can be. And then we have scripts and models. Script and models are, so let's go models first. Models are kind of multiple step kind of things that can combine different algorithms after each other. And you can do all that in a graphical tool. And scripts are kind of equivalent, but you are typing Python. Currently, since 3.6, we can, again, export models to Python scripts. And whenever you save them to the toolbox, you'll see them in here. Here, I don't have any. An example of a nice new algorithm that came into 3.24, not sure anymore, is the package layers, which will allow me to take different layers and in one go put them all in one geo package file. Another cool new processing toolbox tool is under vector creation. It's importing of a bunch of geotagged photos. If you have a folder that is full of geotagged pictures, you can just run this import geotagged photos tool, and it will create a new table in your in your geo database, geo package, obviously, and you can have them visualized. GIF don't work apparently. So easy custom labeling is a super nice feature where you can now have your map with labels, and the labeling can now be moved, and whatever position you put the labeling on will stay there. So it's stored with a file near the project, so you don't have to store in the data anymore. Coordinates for where you want your label to be, so it's pretty handy. It gets automatically placed. Editing improvement: we changed the way that you digitize and change polygons. We went to a kind of click thing. You can click between. You'll see here. If I want to add a new node, I can click and then I can just pull the new node. So much faster. We improved a lot the CAD tools with heaps of functionality, orthogonal digitizing at certain angles, parallel at a certain different distance. So it's really a lot of new functionality in there. Tracing at offset, so you can trace a line that exists already and have it always at 10 meters, create the next line. In the editing tools enhancement as well, we can have multi-layer editing modes, meaning that you can have data from different layer moved together. The advanced digitizing part is where we hidden all those more complex kind of tools. Well, hidden, you just turn it on once and then you have it there. All this, the snapping settings are now available in a toolbar by itself. Editing in place, processing tools can now edit layers directly in place without needing to create a new layer with the output. So doesn't keep on creating new layer for every new calculation that you do. Select feature by value. Well, pretty clear. You can now in a mask you can type in values and it will select the features for you that match those kind of values. Another very interesting selection thing that we have is that you can now use two different layers to select. So if you have a polygonal layer and you have a point layer, you can right click on a polygon and say and select the things that are within that polygon. So really quick way to basically do a pointing polygon algorithm. We have a point cluster renderer, very handy when you have a lot of points. It will automatically render for you the correct amount, the amount of point and showing you how many points you're looking at. Then probably one of the most advanced thing that has been added is a QML widget. QML widget allows you to type easy programming language called QML and create interactive things like these graphs. These are all generated on real time on the data, depending on the feature that just has been clicked. So it has, you see here, hovering and super powerful. If you're interested in it, on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, Bolero, you get a lot of information about that as well. Live layers, layers that can refresh themselves every certain amount of time, every second, every 10 seconds, can show you data that changes in the background. In 3.6, a raster image marker, where you can place an image, a raster as a marker, can be used for fancy thing like placing a picture and automatically showing in which direction the picture was taken by reading EXIF information. There's been a lot of new expressions, variables, and data-defined things in the expression editor. Print Composer, completely rewritten, can now have multiple sheets per layout, different orientation, different size. On top of it, we can now create reports as well, meaning that you can go into data that depend on another data. So you can go dig into like all the airports, you show a map of all the airport, and then you do a map for each airport. So pretty powerful there. Scale bars, all units have been introduced. Plenty of new things here. 3D, extrusion of vector data and animations. 3D has gotten a high priority in 3.0, so it's a super nice new functionality that we have, and it's a first class citizen now. As I mentioned before, you can have a new map that has a 3D content. We can print 3D. Then we added the support for mesh data, used often for meteorological, hydrological, and so on data. There is a mesh calculator. It supports identifying features. And there is 3D support for the meta. There is a project to allow you migrate much easier from ArcGIS project to QGIS project. It is in beta, it is in fundraising, so it's called Slayer, in case you want to help fund that. Basically, it's the quickest path to move your project from ArcGIS to QGIS. Obviously, QGIS is also a server. In the 3.x series, the server was totally refactored, completely rewritten, services were modularized, is now a reference implementation for WMS. It is tested and compliant against the whole WMS test suite. And there's been a lot of tests that have been added there, and there is compliance work. I'm not sure if it has finished yet. No, it has not finished yet. So there is compliance work for WFS. And it has WMS support. That was all up to 3.4. So we have 3.8 and 3.10 to look at. We're not going to look at it. These are just some highlights and geometry generators for labeling, export of 3D animation, terrain from online sources, configuration of field, angle camera, HTML in the widget, save layers into GeoPackage, generate rasters, resurrection on Orfeo Toolbox, improved UI for the modeler, QGIS project can now be in GeoPackage files, ArcGIS Map server is handling is much improved, SQL server can now handle version 2 geometries, and support for plugin dependencies. And this is the first slide of the two slides of the old features. The slides are going to be online, so bear with me. I told you I had 110 slides, so pretty happy I managed it in 19 minutes. That's the second one. So that's only 3.8, between 3.6 and 3.8. Huh? You can go here and have a look at all the change logs and buy a book by Kurt, which is super good. I'm not making any money out of this, but it's a really good book on the all new things on 3.0. Skip. Can I show this? Oop. On Friday at 2 o'clock, if you want to come to Bolero and see some more entertaining, not like boring like this one where I just speak. Here we're going to show a lot of things, about an hour and a half, three blocks, 2 o'clock, Bolero. We're going to tell you the story of Maya the beekeeper, how she starts her business after retiring, and how she becomes a beekeeper and grows and grows and grows, and her GIS needs keep on growing. Yeah. Thanks a lot. And if you have any questions.